Thank you, John. Take your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10 for a few minutes tonight, and let's look there. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. Often I think when a great celebrity walks in a room, we rise to our feet and we applaud. If tonight the living Christ walked in this door, it would not be your natural reaction to rise to your feet and applaud. It would become, as a believer, your natural reaction to fall on your face and pay homage unto him. You would not applaud. You may eventually rise and do that, but you would begin on your face in worship. All honor and authority unto him. Amen. Judgment. Judgment. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. A penetrating verse of Scripture where the Bible says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. We must all. How many of you are all? Are y'all part of all? In the South, the plural is all y'all, all right? All y'all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Judgment. There are four great judgments I want to talk to you about for a few minutes tonight. Four great judgments. One of them is found in this verse. We must all stand. It speaks of everyone. But I want to show you the four great judgments in Scripture. There are a few others, but these four are primary, and I want you to see them with me tonight. Number one is the judgment of sin. The judgment of sin. Now, this judgment has already occurred. Your sin has already been judged. In John's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse number 24. In John 5 and verse number 24. Sharon, do you have those verses? Oh, they're here. They're not down here. Okay. All right, that's good. So John 5 and verse 24. My cheat screen's not working tonight, all right? Truly, truly, I say to you, look at this. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Now, if that's good news, do you say amen? Amen. You already got it. Eternal life. Right there where you sit, you have eternal life. If you hear his word and believe, you have eternal life. And you do not come into judgment. Can I get a witness? Amen. But has passed out of death into life. Now here's what happened, friend. When Jesus went to the cross, he judged your sin. And he took your sin and became it in its place, in your place, in that sin's place. It's called the substitutionary atonement in theology. It is there that Jesus judged us and judged our sin. And when you've been saved, your unrighteousness has been rolled over onto Jesus, and he became your sin. How many of you have ever been drunk? It's all right to raise your hand. God's already knowing, all right? It's good. So all of your drunkenness, he became that. How many have ever been high on something besides that? All of that, he became that immorality in your life. How many of you ever been arrogant and thought you was better than y'all'd been? Now, the rest of you need to come to the altar right now. All right? All of that stuff that we are, whatever is vile and wicked, some sin that we even kind of elevate that is still a stench in his nostrils. Jesus became that for you. And your sin was judged. Already the full price has been paid. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21 says it this way. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Thank you for my cheating screen working down here now. Amen. Notice verse 21, he made him. He didn't know any sin, but he became sin on our behalf. God judged the believer's sin at the cross, and there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Now, what you say, preacher, I hear that all my life. Well, begin to live up to where you are. Quit thinking you got to carry all that garbage. Jesus paid it all. Live up to what you are in Scripture. So many, we say, well, I believe all that, but, you know, I'm not worthy. Well, hello, give me something I don't know. There's none righteous, none worthy, no, not a one. But he says, you're forgiven. So begin to live up to what Jesus and Scripture says about you. Don't let all that past suck you down. Let Christ be your righteousness. Amen. Begin to live up to who you are. So number one, there is the judgment of sin. Secondly, is the judgment of the saints. The saints. Now, I'm not talking about the New Orleans football team here. The Bible speaks of you as a saint. If you're a believer, if you're a Christ follower, you become a saint, is what the Bible talks about you. It's a holy one, a hagios, and the saints of God. Now, he's going to judge us. And in this text that we see tonight in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 10 that we read earlier, it says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be, and he's speaking of believers here, may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. He said, well, Pastor, I thought you said that my sin had already been judged. Hear me. He's not going to judge your sins at this. He's going to judge your works. Your sin's been dealt with. But you will give an account for the works of your hands. Now, don't miss this. You're going to say, well, man, I don't have much to bring. 1 John 2:1 says you have an advocate. An advocate. How many ever needed a lawyer? You ever need a lawyer? Thank God if you got a good one. He's an advocate on your behalf. He speaks on your behalf. He steps up for you. He says, this is my client, and I've come on his behalf. And Jesus is our advocate. He comes to speak for us. He doesn't just try to make a good case. He is our case. Because not only is he my advocate, he walks around on the other side of the bench, and he becomes my judge. He's both judge and advocate. I'm telling you, that's a winning combination right there. We have this advocate. So don't let this get you, just beat you down, but do take this serious, because there's going to be a judgment of what you're doing. So you need to be found faithful. This is not going to send you to hell. That's been paid. You're righteous. You're going to heaven. But now begin to be what God has called you to be. There's going to be a judgment of works, the works of your hands, and you will give an account whether it's been good or whether it's been bad. We'll all stand there, and there will be a judgment regarding your actions. The Bible speaks a lot about crowns, rewards. I believe heaven is a place of priorities, first to be last to be first. I believe there are degrees of those rewards that will be there. They're folk you never heard of in this world. It'll be amazing when you get to the other side. Any of you watch Billy Graham's deal that they've been showing on television, a 30-minute program, My Hope? I finally DVR'd it and watched it the other night. Tells his story. It's absolutely amazing. Number of people Dr. Graham's touched with the gospel. And there he sits as a 95-year-old man, longing for heaven, missing sweet Ruth, and yet continuing to give the gospel, to give the gospel, to give the gospel. So he wanted to preach one more time to the world. And so he has done this through this video and presentation. Well, I just somehow think there's going to be some great rewards for that man that's been faithful. But you know, I'm not the one who gives them out. There's some preachers and servants in some small places we've never heard of around the world that verse that we looked at tonight during that song that talked about the word of their testimony, and they have literally shed their blood. There's a pastor that we all hear about. He's in that jail. President's just been over there talking to the president. Over 2 years now, this Christian has been incarcerated. Stan, is it Iran or Iraq? Iran, isn't it? Yeah, Iran. I always say them backwards, and so I have to ask my historian. He helps me. Where we've got this nuclear contract going on, and yet this guy's in prison. I don't know, I don't set the bar, but it just seems to me if judgment came today, I couldn't carry that guy's socks. You talk about having a soft life compared to what that old boy dealt with. And yet standing for, he's been told, if you'll just renounce Christ, go home to me. I wonder what would happen if they gave me that. You never know till you're put in it. I like to think I'd pass the test. That there'd be a well done. What if it cost you your life? It has for many. We're such soft believers in our nation. We think the government ought to do this or that. My goodness gracious. We've been a majority so long that now that we've moved into minority status, many people run and hide. Hey, the fight's on. You're on the winning side. Begin to live up to who you are. Let God break. There's a judgment coming. You give an account whether good or bad. There's the judgment of sin. There's the judgment of saints. Thirdly, There's the judgment of the states. Mm-hmm. In the book of Joel, over in the Old Testament book of Joel, an interesting passage in the book of Joel. And we find it in chapter 3. And if you backed up to verse 9, you'd find some verses that you're really familiar with. He talks about beating the plowshares into sword, pruning hooks into spears, say the weak, I'm a mighty man. Then it begins in verse 11. Listen to this in Joel 3, verse 11. Hasten and come, all you surrounding nations. That's where we use the word states there. We're talking about nations. And gather yourselves there. Bring down, O Lord, your mighty ones. This is a recipe for Armageddon that we're coming to in this prophecy. Let the nations be aroused and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge. There's the judgment. And I will judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, tread, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Look at that verse. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon grow dark, and the stars lose their brightness. The Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth tremble, but the Lord is a refuge for his people and a stronghold to the sons of Israel. How's God going to judge nations? When it comes down to Armageddon, every nation is going to be judged on how they dealt with Israel. Be very careful how your country deals with the nation Israel. You say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? In Zechariah chapter 2, I'll flip over here, I think I can find it right quick. Zechariah is hard to find. In Zechariah 2 and verse 8, listen to this. For thus says the Lord of hosts, after glory he has sent me against the nations which plunder you, he's speaking to Israel. For he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. The apple of his eye. That's a weird phrase. When you go into the Old Testament, the apple of the eye is the center of the eye. Ever get a little piece of dirt or something in your eye? Ever since I've had my retina tears and five surgeries I've had on my eyes in the last 3 years, my eyes get dry and I get some grainy stuff. And man, I get up in the morning and I have to, you know, kind of flush them out and wash, get that stuff out from sleep. And then the least little thing just seems like they're more sensitive. Just get the least. Let me tell you, Israel is the apple of his eye. Don't harm her. There's a judgment coming. Over in that Joel passage, he said we're going down in the valley of decision. When you go back to that text, the valley of decision is not what we decide. It's what God decides is the valley of decision. And God says, all right, this one, this one, this one, this one, yeah, you. And he is deciding in that valley of Jehoshaphat, which is the valley of decision, he's saying, these nations I'm going to plunder. With what I see going on in America today, I wonder if God is not plundering us. I got up on Thanksgiving morning. I'm going to watch the Lions play because my daddy did. We lived in Detroit when I was born. My dad was a season ticket holder with Detroit. He loved Night Train Lane and all those guys. Went to the 55 NFL championship game when the Lions won it. So I always watch a few minutes of that. But before that came on, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade came on. I said, well, I'll watch a little of this. And all of a sudden, there was this big choir came out there and stopped in front of Macy's and I said, it's a gay choir. He said, how you know? I just knew. I didn't even announce it, didn't say anything, but it just knew. You can't always tell, but this time you could tell. And when they finished, it was the Chicago, I think, gay chorus. And then later, I'm talking about, I mean, this is the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I read later, because I turned it off, that there was another homosexual group in drag in the parade. This is for kids selling Santa Claus. My God, America, where have we gone? Plunder! It's a coming. Judgment of people turning against righteousness. And when you run out the prophecy on the apple of his eye, the apple of his eye becomes the one that was birthed out of that nation, even Jesus our Lord. He's the real apple. of his eye. There's the judgment of sin, there's the judgment of saints, there's the judgment of the states that is coming, and then lastly, there is the judgment of sinners. Take your Bible and go to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. Revelation 20 and verse 11. If you know not Christ, there's a judgment coming for you as well. In Revelation 20, beginning in verse 11, the Bible says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up their dead, which is in it. And death and Hades gave up the dead, which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire, which is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown in the lake of fire." We live in a culture in America today where people do not believe in judgment, nor do they believe in hell. They say, how could a righteous God send anybody to hell? That just speaks of our theology. I flip that over. I think, how can there be a heaven? How in the world could there be a heaven? I mean, it's a perfect place, so how could I get in? The flip side says, well, surely there's not a hell. I mean, if I do more good than I do bad, well, you don't. I'm amazed that I could get into heaven, not that the world says, well, no, I couldn't go to hell. I mean, God wouldn't send anybody there. Well, there is a judgment, and it is coming. And if your name is not found written in that book of life, I'm glad to know my name's in the book. It's in there. Spelled properly. They will not call for Ted Taylor the day I show up. Amen. That's what half the people call me for when I step up line. They'll say Ted Taylor, and I'll look around and say, what do you mean? Is there an R there? Oh, yes, yes, there's an R there. It's spelled properly. Now here's the question. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Is your name in the book? If you know him, your name is in the book. Genesis 18:25 says that the judge of this world will do that that is right in every case. He does the right thing every time. You need to know him. Brother Scooter, come talk to me. This is Scooter Tucker. We're going to use this microphone right here, and it's already turned on. It's number 2, all right? How you doing, friend?
Good.
Hey, thanks for baptizing tonight.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
It's
proud of Anna Grace over there. Good girl. She and I shot free throws down here one day.
She told me many times.
So yeah. She comes down one day, and we were out there basketballing a little bit. And I love that little girl. It's glad to see you baptize her tonight. And then they throw some new ones at you.
I was just glad. He had a semi-difficult name. I was glad I didn't have to get him done.
Well, amen. Yeah, that's good. Scooter used to be on our staff, for some of you that don't know. How long did you serve with us in the rec area here?
The rec area for 3 years, and okay, then missions for a little over 2.
Right. So I thought it was about 5 years that you were with us. And then he made a transition. What are you doing now?
I am now managing in the minor leagues of the Cleveland Indians organization.
How did we do this year?
I still have a job.
Well, amen. How did we do last year?
We did good
last year. I knew that.
No, we had a tough first half. We had a very young team. And we struggled. In the second half, we played much, much better and had an opportunity to be in the playoffs until the last week.
Yeah. I remember you shot me an email about that. Yes. Amen. Well, tell us how'd you come to faith in Christ?
I came to faith in Christ 25 years ago this June. And ironically, it was in professional baseball.
Oh.
I can't believe I was playing it 25 years ago, but...
It's that little white in here.
Yes, sir. And I grew up in a home that we did not attend church.
Right.
Lost a parent, my mother, early. Went through a interesting childhood through high school. And
when you say interesting, what can you tell me what that means?
Yeah, my father remarried, and we had some difficulties, and I chose not to live with them through my sophomore, junior, and senior year. So I actually lived alone those 3 years in high school, and obviously not much guidance there. So, but then I went off to college and played, and I was fortunate to play for a godly man, Dave Boo Ferris, who I just spoke with him yesterday, 92 years old now.
Goodness gracious.
But
was he your manager?
He was the head coach at Delta State.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And he was a former player, 1945 American League Rookie of the Year with the Red Sox.
Hang on there just a minute. How many of you know what the mascot is for Delta State?
You don't care.
It was on Jeopardy the other night, and nobody knew.
Are you kidding?
Nobody knew it on Jeopardy.
Yeah.
And I'm over there saying, I know, I know.
Yeah.
What's the mascot?
Well, officially, it's the Statesman, but...
But the real one?
The real one is the Fighting Okra.
The Fighting Okra of Delta State.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Good. Yeah. That was it. It was on Jeopardy. It has to be true. Alec Trebek said it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was actually there the year that I guess, became the mascot.
Well, my bad. I didn't mean to jump in on that. But, you know, I thought I was going to win $500 or something. So this guy, what's his name again?
Boo Ferris.
Boo Ferris.
He was obviously a godly influence in our lives as players, but and he looked after, he still does. I mean, just we all noticed there was a difference in he that, you know, than some of the other coaches we were blessed with. And but it was not until my junior year of college when I actually met my wife, Teresa. She was a freshman coming in at Delta State, and after a couple of months of dating, she asked me to go home and meet her family, and I did, and of course that led to going to church on Sunday and Sunday lunch, and she lived there in the town where we went to school. And that process went on for about 6 months, and I felt God starting to stir my heart and call me to. I was very prideful, very arrogant. Thought that was a sign of weakness. And I was fairly certain that I would be drafted that year, my junior year, and my coach was retiring, so I knew I was leaving. I couldn't get out of there fast enough to run from God at that time. Didn't want to leave Teresa and all that, but it was, I wanted out.
Yeah.
So each Sunday I would attend and then get out of there pretty quickly. And so once I did get drafted that June in 88, I left thinking that I had escaped. And little did I know he was in Everett, Washington when I got there too. So and there in a hotel room, make a brief story, in hotel room in Everett, Washington, I prayed to receive Christ.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Now tell me a little bit about your walk. Now you're on the road a good deal, gone from your girls, and boy, God had a sense of humor about that. You lived by yourself for 3 years, and now you live with five women. Wow, that's amazing. So,
sense of humor.
Yes, amen. Yeah, he has a way of flipping that around.
Yes, sir.
But tell me a little bit about your walk with Christ now. You're away a lot, and you travel. It's got to be hard to keep a quiet time and that kind of stuff. How do you do that?
Yes, sir. Well, part of the grounding, I guess, it has been difficult, first of all. This is my second year to be back in the game of coaching. My first year, it was much easier than I anticipated. I had a fellow coach who was also a believer, a great chaplain there in North Carolina. And just a lot of things fell in place where it just it enabled me to kind of continue where I was, you know, a walk. But obviously you miss the congregation, you miss the weekly support, you miss some of your buddies, you know, that hold you accountable. This second year, as I became the manager of a different team, neither one of my, or I guess the four staff members, none of them were believers. And I found it very, very difficult because there's such an age gap, obviously, between my players and myself. You know, that's not a your support group. So yeah. It was much different this year. And I find myself going back to a thing that we've learned here a long time ago of staying in the Proverbs and Psalms and just a daily reading. And then also I took up the, you know, reading the Bible in 1 year this year. It helped Amen. Me try to stay a little more disciplined.
Good. Well, man, we're glad you're home and here for this period and with us. And I know your family's been walking through some tough stuff with Teresa's dad and all of those things, but God's faithful. First time I met Scooter was walking in the front door of Old Passmore Hall, and yes. Jay Bell's daddy brought you to church here for the first time, if I remember right.
He did, Mr. Ron Bell. Yeah. Teresa and I were on our way to spring training with the Astros in Kissimmee, and stopped here for a couple of weeks to prepare, and Mr. Bell asked us one night, we were having dinner, he said, would y'all like to go to church this Sunday? And we said, yes, sir, we would. He said, well, I'd love to take you. And we said, great. So he met us and brought us here, introduced me to you, and yeah. not till later on that day we found out he was actually Methodist.
Exactly. It's a marvelous story. It's encouraged me always that Ron came. He's a faithful member of a Methodist right. church yes. over here. And I said, well, why'd you bring him here? And he said, well, I know he's a Baptist. And I knew this was the best Baptist place in town, at least that I knew about. Yeah. And he said, so I just brought Scooter over here to come. And he said, I just thought I'd hang out with you a while. It was a great morning. And introduced and then made a lifelong friendship here with us and the girls. And it's just been I go back to thinking about Ron and Jay and that connection that we had there. Yeah. Amen. Man, thanks for sharing your heart with us today.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. All right. Hey, Devin, come here and talk to me. Yeah, come on. Yeah, give Scooter a hand. Now, I didn't tell you you're going to do this tonight.
No.
Amen. All right. Now, you're with a group over here. Who are you with?
Waterfront Rescue Mission.
Okay. So you ladies come to church here on a rather regular basis.
Yes,
you're here good. Tell me when you came to faith in Christ.
I came to faith in Christ August 28th of 2013.
All right. You've had a background with some faith base mm-hmm. in that, but it'd been kind of hit and miss or
yeah,
whatever.
It was.
Just tell me a little bit about that.
I wasn't raised in the church, but I went with friends. It was more religiously. And I would go to church every Sunday, Wednesday night here. And then I just, whenever
Were
I
you
got
in youth
here,
group here for a while?
I would just come on the Wednesday nights yeah. whenever they would have the youth groups here. So. Then whenever I got in this Christian-based program, it really opened my eyes to it.
Okay, between that time and here, you had some difficulty. Can you share just a little bit about that and where you've been and that kind of thing?
Well, I'm a recovering addict, and I have been clean for 6 months now.
Okay.
And thank you. I struggled with that. I lost a parent due to some unfortunate circumstances. And so it's been quite the struggle. I was a single mom of two. And
how are the kiddos doing?
They're doing amazing.
Yeah. How old are they now?
Cameron's 8 and Grace is 3.
Okay. 8 and 3. Mm-hmm. Wow. Now, I don't know all these girls over here, but how did I get to know you?
You were my regular at Italy's Finest when I served there, and then you came into O'Charlie's restaurant when I served there.
Yeah, and so we just got to know each other. I didn't know all this stuff about you.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought you were a lovely girl waiting tables. And then one day you shared with me about a relationship with a guy, and that broke up, and that wasn't good, mm-hmm. and tears came, and mm-hmm. it just was a mess.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. And then something happened to get you connected over here. How did that occur?
Well, my life just spiraled out of control, and my mom had told me, well, actually, Miss D. Yeah. Do you know Miss D, Doris? Well, she was working in the building over here, and one day I was just like, I need help. Someone help me. And she walked out and said, I have this really great program for you. I just need you to make some phone calls. And she did, and I got in here.
Amen. Hey, I want you to know I'm proud of you for coming up here and sharing tonight.
Thank you.
I thought about telling you, but I thought she'll just do better if I just let her come up here and talk to
you. You know, the weirdest thing is I had a feeling you were going to do this.
Yeah.
I really did. I was waiting on it, so I'm a lot more relaxed than normal.
Well, amen. Hey, love you, lady.
Amen.
Thank you. Yeah. Give Devin a good hand. Did you hear the word she said? Ask for help. Did you hear what Scooter said? I was in a hotel and I asked for a Savior. The relationship with Christ has a beginning. It's when you ask. It's when you ask. Some of you may be in this room tonight and like my sweet friend over here, your life may be spiraling out of control. Your life may be like my good friend on this side. A lot of pieces put together, it looks like things going fine, yet there might be a missing piece where you've not said yes to Christ. I don't know the need in your heart, but I'm telling you, there's a judgment day coming. You need to make sure your name is in the book of life, that you've trusted Him, that you know Him, that you're a saved man or woman, and then that you are living under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit of God, so that when we stand, and we will, to give an account, that your deeds will be that are blessing the name of the Lord. Let's just bow our head and be quiet for a moment before the Father. Amen.